Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Maseches Bava Metzia has been dedicated by Rabbi and Mrs. Chaim Shlomo Metz. Le'ilei Nishmas Shmar Yehu Ben Chaim.
Masechta Bava Metzia, Daf Ayin Zayin. The Gemara says on the Amud Aleph that a person who hires poyalim, he hires workers, ledavla, for the purpose of drawing water and irrigating his field, and then the rain comes before the workers do the work, so that it renders the field something which is totally not in need of having any watering. The rain came and filled up all the irrigation. So that, say to the poyalim, the workers have to take that loss because there's no longer any need for their work. Tosfos over here points out that earlier on the Omud, the Gemara gave a somewhat similar case, which actually had a different din. Over there, the Gemara talks about a case of someone who hired workers for the purpose of digging ditches in his field. The Ogur Aguri Lerivka hired workers for the purpose of digging the ditches in the field, and the rain came and filled up the field with water and made it unsuitable for digging any ditches. And over there, it's Mavur that if the workers had specially seen the field last night and seen what kind of a field it was and that such a thing could happen to the field, then they have to take the loss. But otherwise, if they had not seen the field, then it's say to the Balabayas, and the Balabayas has to pay them kepoil botel. The Balabayas actually has to pay them if the workers had not checked the field out in advance. And they didn't realize, they weren't made to realize that this might happen, that the field could fill with water and become unsuitable for the ditch digging. So there it's Mavur, says Tosfos, earlier in the Gemara, it says that you have to pay the workers like a pale bottle, you have to pay him something. Over here, however, it's Mavur in our Gemara with regard to the question of the irrigating workers of Ohio to irrigate the fields of the Davlo, and now the rain came and made that superfluous and unnecessary, and he did not have to pay the workers anything. What's the difference between the cases? The Tosfos says, we'll go straight to Tosfos' second Mahalach. The Tosfos answers that over there, by the case of the ditch digging in the field, the reality is it depends very much on the kind of field. In many, many fields, nothing happens to them, even if it does rain. They're perfectly suited for digging the ditches, even after a rain. This is the kind of a field, this particular one, is the kind that gets all ruined and messed up after the rain, and unsuitable for any ditch digging. Since this is a unique situation, this particular field, the Balabayas, of course, knows what kind of field he has, and he could have and should have informed the pilot that they're taking that risk. Perhaps he's hiring them and maybe their work won't get done because maybe the rain will come and render the field unsuitable for digging the ditches. So then it depends only if they had seen the field, they saw it for themselves, they knew what they're getting into, only then do they have to take the loss. Otherwise, well, Balabais takes the loss because he knew what he had and he knew of that potential risk and they didn't know anything about it. Masha Enkin in this field with the irrigation ditches, says Tosfos. So, Roiv Sodois, everybody knows that most fields, you're hired to put water into the irrigation ditches to water the field. But you know good and well that very possibly the rain will come and render it meaningless, unnecessary, because it already has the water. Everybody knows that. The pilum knows that. The same way the Balabais knows that. And therefore, since the pilum knew what they were getting into and they knew that risk, therefore, they have to sustain that loss themselves if it rain comes and their work is not needed. The Mordechai takes a din out of this Gemara, a surprising chiddush din, that the Mordechai should extend this Gemara that far. And the Mordechai says, what's a din about somebody who rents out a home for a period of time, 12 months or whatever it is, rents out the home, and the renter, the person who was living in it, renting, dies in the middle of the time. Now he has Yerushim, he has heirs, and the heirs don't want to pay the entire amount of the rental because they say that the original owner is now deceased. So they want to back out, and they'll pay the amount that he was in the home for that number of months. They'll pay the rent, but they don't want to pay the rent anything beyond that, because they're not interested in continuing the rental and continuing to live there themselves. So the Mordechai says, what's it then? And he answers that, in fact, the Yerushim, the heirs, are not going to be mechuyev to pay anything beyond the amount of time that the deceased individual, the original renter, lived during that time. And what's the mocker for that, says the Mordechai? That the mocker is, and just what we find in this Gemara, that the workers have to sustain that loss if the field becomes a field which is unsuitable for watering, right? Because now there's rain in the field and the field is unsuitable for watering. So the workers have to sustain that loss. They knew that it was possible that it would happen, that they would take that risk. And now that the rain did come, it's not suitable for their work. They sustained the loss. Now, therefore, likewise, over here, says the Mordechai, the homeowner who rented out the house, he knew that that's the risk he's incurring, and he didn't stipulate It didn't say anything special. So that homeowner is going to have to sustain the loss the same way the workers over here sustained the loss. What happened was that the original renter died, and therefore he's no longer available to live there. Consequently, you're only going to get the rent for the original months that he was living in the home and not for the remaining months after his death. The Ramah brings this din of the Mordechai in Choshen Mishpat Shin Lamedalev, and the Ramah notes over there that this din of the Mordechai is not muskim. Yesh cholkim, says the Ramah, and in parentheses there it's brought the Tshuvas HaRashbo, and it also brings a Tosfos in Perches Sabbatim, and that's based on the Beis Yosef over there in Shin Lamedalev that stole through these two Rishonim, which we'll talk a little about. Now the Tshuvas HaRashbo explicitly goes into the exact same case. So the Tshuvas HaRashbo clearly straight out argues against the din of the Mordechai that we just said, and the HaRashbo Mamish talks about such a case that Reuven owns a bias, he owns a home, he lends it out to Shimon, and Shimon dies in the middle, and the Yoresh of Shimon, the Yoresh of the renter, says, I'm not interested in continuing to reside in that home on my own. He could have continued, apparently, but he's not interested in continuing the lease, and therefore he says, I'm not interested either in paying you the entire time of the lease either, because his father only was there for part of the time. So what's the din? So the Rashbo over there brings on a psak of the Raivad, that the Raivad said that Hadin im Hamaskir, which is to say that the homeowner is entitled to get the full amount of the rental. Why? Let me read the words just for a moment. The Kivan Shasach Shimon Habayas. When Shimon took out that lease, 12-month lease, at the beginning of the year, he takes out, rents out the house for 12 months, Harehu Kemecher Gomor. And at that point, says the Ravid quoted in the Rashba, the home is the equivalent of a true sale, a 12-month sale, a sale of a shtick tight, of a unit of time for the duration of that 12 months for that home. Kemecher Gomor, v'nischai bedomim bein yidur bein lo yidur. And you owe him the same money regardless of whether you end up utilizing it or not. Now this is a very powerful statement of the Ravid quoted in the Rashba, and you could see his perspective on the Shaila is entirely different from that of the Mordechai. According to the Rashba, the Ravid, you are actually the equivalent of a buyer. It's true that technically you rented it, not bought, but that's called buying a timeshare. That's really what it is. You bought a timeshare for this house for the next 12 months, you bought. And since you bought, you owe money. It doesn't really matter if you end up using it or not. It doesn't matter if the person ends up dying or not. None of those things make any difference whatsoever. Since you bought, you owe the money. If you would buy, a guy buys something, he dies right away. Does he have a taina on the seller that I won't have to pay? Well, of course, the heirs didn't have a taina. It's impossible to have such an argument. Of course, you buy it and you have to pay, and that's all. But it doesn't depend on whether you end up using it. According to the Rashba B'Shem HaRaivad, the exact same thing is true, precisely the same way where somebody rents out, he rents an apartment for 12 months and then dies near the beginning of the 12 months, we look upon that rental the equivalent of a timeshare mecher. It's like a mechira for a piece of time for the use of that house. And therefore, since you bought it, you had right from the beginning. From the beginning of the 12 months, you buy, quote-unquote, which really means you rent, but you bought a timeshare of the building, and therefore, consequently, you're already at that point, the full 12 months worth of upcoming rent, regardless of whether you end up using it or not. And that argues the Rambam makes this point in Shulchan Aruch, big machloikis, they argue in the Mordechai, and the Mordechai holds, apparently has a different conceptual approach, the Mordechai, and he holds that the heirs of the renter only have to pay for that period of time when the renter was living in the house, and not for the time after he's no longer alive. The Bachon and Vassaman brings down this machloikis Rishayinim in a shtickle that he has in the Koivet Ha'orois, on the sugya of something called Schiris Leyoimi Memkarhu. But that happens to be a Lashon HaGemara, Masechta B'Metzia. Schiris Leyoimi Memkarhu is an expression that the Talmud, that the Gemara uses to tell us that a person who rents, to for that one day, it's like it's sold for a day. Like we said before, it's like a timeshare sale on a building, or whatever the case may be. Now, the Gemara does say this expression, but it's a big tumult in a number of different source texts back and forth, different Mekairos, and whether the Gemara meant that literally it was just an expression in a particular context. Here, we have a clear example. Right here, you have the Rashi saying the Ravid. He's really one of the Marim HaKoyimos that indicates that he understood it literally, that the person rents out a building. So it's not the Pshat, in other words, that on an ongoing basis, every single day, every week, every month, whatever the case is, as you continue in an ongoing way to live there, you continue accumulating amount of money that you owe. The money becomes Nischayev, in other words, on an ongoing basis as you live there. According to the Rashi and the Ravid, that's totally wrong. Rather, the correct Pshat is that once you buy a timeshare, at the moment, moment of the transaction, you become the chayav the whole 12 months of pay, regardless of what happens after that point, because you're a buyer. Now, Bachanan alludes to, he doesn't make this 100% befeirish, he alludes to the idea that apparently this is going to be itself, the machloik is between the Rashba against the Mordechai that we spoke of before. In other words, that they're arguing about a very, very fundamental, entirely yesodistic question of how to look upon the concept of a rental, or upon the concept of a schiris. Do I say, according to the simple reading of the Gemara Bava Metzia and the way the Rashi from the Ravid learns, schiris liyamim memkaru, a person rents, so for one day it's equivalent to a sale. And the Meila, in this case, we take out a lease on a home for 12 months, you literally, at that moment, you took out the lease, at that moment you bought the home, for the period of 12 months. Of course, if you look at it that way, it will not depend at all on whether the person had any opportunity whatsoever to yes live there, to not live there. He bought the time share on the home and he has to pay for what he bought. Just like anybody who buys and may not get a chance to use it. However, it seems that the Mordechai doesn't agree at all that that's an understanding of schiris. The Mordechai understands rental to be fundamentally dissimilar, fundamentally different from a sale. And by the way that rentals work is that as you use it on an ongoing basis, you accumulate heschaivus and you accumulate obligations to pay. And that's what the Mordechai, of course, holds completely differently. A guy who rented the home and died in the middle of the lease, so you only have to pay for that amount of time that he actually utilized at home, because on an ongoing way he was mechayev himself in more and more cash. Once he dies, his chayvus ends from there on in, since he's no longer living there. Now, Bachanan writes, however, that if you think very carefully about what the Mordechai is saying, you'll find a very odd and rather startling thing. And that is that the Mordechai apparently understood the distinction between while the renter is still alive and after he dies. So the way it works apparently is that once the renter dies, the sons have to make a choice. Now they have the right, that's before in the Poiskim and the Rishonim, they have the right to stick it out on the lease, to extend the lease, or to live out through the end of the lease on their own. They'll take over the apartment where the father had previously been living before he died. They'll live out the lease till the end of the year. And of course, if they do, for Steitzach, they're going to have to pay the money. But they could choose, on the other hand, to terminate the lease at that point, because the original rent is no longer alive, and they'll pay up to that point in time. That choice the sons have only kicks in once the renter died, the original renter died. However, while the renter is still alive, he has no right to back out in the middle of the lease. Then he was Mechayev himself, and he doesn't have any right to back out. That's why the Mordechai went out of his way, apparently, to stress that the case was that the renter died, and then the sons wanted to back out, and there they have the option of doing so, and we would say, in the Mordechai's opinion, that they only pay the amount of the lease up to the point in time that the fellow was living there until his death. So, he says, in reality, there's something very schwer about this, because why should I make this chiluk between while the person is still alive and after his death? It's one thing, Zokter, you want to look upon this concept conceptually the way that the Rashba and the Ravid would look at it, and say that you simply bought the timeshare at the beginning of the year, and yeah, you own the next 12 months of this house. But say it is, so then you can't back out at all, and actually the sons couldn't back out either, because kind of stuck with it. The father made the purchase and then died. He purchased the timeshare of 12 months on this home. So then nobody could back out. But if you look at the Mordechai's way, he apparently disagrees with that, and he holds that the choyev has accumulated the monetary obligation to the landlord, is accumulated on a day-by-day basis, and now the sons are going to back out and they won't accumulate any more obligation, any more debt to the homeowner. So why can't the original renter say the same thing? Why can't he say it? Elamai, because he's obligated to continue. But if he's obligated to continue, it sounds, in other words, like he's bought some kind of a timeshare, which kind of binds him. If he's stuck, why aren't his kids stuck as well? The Rebbe Chanan says he doesn't have a good chat in that. What's the difference between the original renter and the kids? But Pshuto, it would appear that, although the Mordechai definitely does not hold that you bought a timeshare in the home, that's clear. And the fact that the guy will die, so the obligation to pay is only going to go up until the point that he died, and not beyond. You don't have any timeshare in the home. But Afal Pi Kein, it seems that Mordechai held that he was meshabed himself. The soiche, the renter who rents the home, is meshabed himself not to back out in the middle. So that as long as he's available to utilize the home, he's meshabed himself to continue to utilize it. The kids, of course, once they take over the father's estate after he dies, they don't have any personal shibbet haguf that they were meshabed, and therefore they have the right to back out at that point till their father's death. While he's still alive, it seems that he personally was meshabed his guf to continue the lease. The Bachanan does say, however, one last point on this. He says, if you look carefully in the words of the Ramah, so right after the Ramah says this, these two opinions, the Rashi's opinion, the Mordechai's opinion, so in parentheses, the Ramah equates, together with the Rashba's opinion, that you're kind of stuck, the kids are stuck with the lease and they have to pay the whole 12 months worth, even if the renter dies in the middle. So the Ramah sticks together with that, in parentheses, that's the same as the Shitas HaToifus in Perek Chesek Sabbatim, Sethabab HaBasra. That Ramah is actually based on the Beis Yosef that says this thing in the Beis Yosef on the Torah, there that the Tosfos Shita in Baba Basra is identical to the Rashba. The Rabbi Chanan says that this is actually very, very schwer. What Tosfos says in Masechta Baba Basra, which is on Daf Nun Aleph and the base, all the Tosfos says over there, actually in the middle of a whole Tosfos is one Nakuda, there's one point. The Tosfos says that what happens if a guy, a renter, a soicher, dies in the Middle East? What's the story then? The Tosfos discussion over there is whether the landlord can now evict the children. Perhaps the landlord doesn't really want the children, he only wanted the renter died, so can the landlord evict the children? And Taisa says, no, that's a Taisa Machadish over there, Baba Basra, that Meis HaSoicher, if the Soicher, the renter dies, so the Von of a Yerushim is Chusay. That's what Taisa says over there, that the sons inherit his right to continue to maintain the rental, to maintain the lease, until the lease expires. That's all that Taisa says over there. Rabbi Chanan says, that how could it really be that the Beis Yosef, and apparently there are more perhaps, that they equated that Shita, what Taisa says over there, Dafka with the Rashba, implying, in other words, that they held that the Mordechai will not agree, and the Mordechai is going to hold at the moment that the original renter dies, the lease is totally up, and the kids don't have any right to insist on extending that lease. On the one hand, says Rabbi Chanan, you really could hear why it should be like that, because Tainach, the Rashba, who also bought a timeshare, again, you own the timeshare, and the kids inherit the timeshare, and there's no such thing as a landlord throwing anybody out. The kids are inheritors of that timeshare. They inherited till the timeshare expires. Now, Shengen, according to the Mordechai, that the rental is an ongoing basis every day by day by day. So, therefore, when the original renter dies, perhaps he could say the Mordechai held that you could kick out the kids because it's not like it's already a block of time that already was purchased. But the Rechonin says that although you could make the argument, in reality it's very, very schwer because the Gemara Ksubas Lamadalit seems to indicate clearly, and without a Shaila, that it's absolutely clear. Over there it talks about in Ksubas Lamadalit that you have a fellow who borrows a cow. And the fellow dies, and then that cow, the rights to that cow during the entire duration of the borrowing of the loan, you know, for 30 days, whatever it was, it goes over to the heirs, the Yerushim, and they have the right to continue to use that cow for the duration of the loan period. That's what it says in the Gemara. And therefore, it seems to be absolutely a given that if a person has a rental on something, then if he dies, the kids have the right to continue it till the end of the lease. And that's not a shaila. And the Mordechai wouldn't doubt that either, like we just discussed. The Mordechai could agree with this point. The whole issue that's a machloikis between the Mordechai, rather, again, and the answer Rashba, has to do with whether you already bought a whole block of time, that even if he dies in the middle, he's bechuyav to pay for the entire block of time that he bought. That's the Rashba holds, yes. And the Mordechai holds not. You didn't buy a whole block of time. But as far as rights are concerned, rental rights, the rights of the renter, there's no question whatsoever. That's before in the Gemara, in Ksubis, that even the person dies, the renter dies, the heirs have the right to continue that rental until the end of the lease, if they choose and they wish to do so. That's very schwer. Why the Beis Yosef and apparently the Ramah stole through that Tosfos to the fundamental machlokes between the Mordechai and the Rashba. The Machne Ephraim asks a stira in the Mordechai. He asks the Kasha, and he brings down a Mordechai, an important Mordechai that Belinda will come back to later on the shir. The Mordechai talks about a scenario of a Malamed Shachol. I mean, the person hired a Malamed, he hired a teacher, private tutor to teach his kids, and the Malamed gets sick in the middle. And what's the story with the Malamed got sick? Does the Malamed entitled to demand to be paid during that time, even though he was sick, because, you know, I gave you a certain block of my time, and you have that block of my time. The fact that I personally was unable to utilize every single last bit of that block of time because I was sick in the middle, that perhaps the Malamed could still tell you, know, that I want you to pay for the whole block of time. So yes or no. And the Mordechai Shita is, in fact, that even though Malamed was Chalo, you have to pay the Malamed for the entire period of time. You have to pay for the whole period of time, even the time he was sick. It's fact of the Machne Ephraim that on the face of it, this would seem to be a big steer with the Mordechai. Because over here we're saying that if the Malamed was sick for a period of time. So even though during that time period he was totally unable to perform his job and he was not able to act as a Malamed in any way, nonetheless, it doesn't make a difference. You have to pay the Malamed for the entire period of time because of the fact that during that whole time period you owned his time. His time was yours during that time. Apparently that's Shat, so it seems. That's Shat of the Mordechai. And Mela consequently have to pay him for that entire period of time even if he couldn't come through for the whole of it. But if that's true, why did the Mordechai himself, Paskin, like we said before, with regard to the rent, that the renter dies in the middle, and over there the halacha is that the renter's mishpacha, the heirs, the estate, only has to pay for the limited amount of time that he was actually in the building. What's the difference? Why don't you say that just like apparently you bought the entire block in the Malamed's time and pay for it regardless, even if the Malamed gets sick in the middle? Why don't you say the same thing the Mordechai himself should say to God, to somebody who rents a building, so regardless of whether he was able to use it to the hilt or not, he should have to pay for the entire time share, the entire block of time that was his and rented the building. That's the stira that the Machne Ephraim asks. And the Machne Ephraim answers, and we'll just kind of say this briefly, and we'll come back perhaps to the other aspects of this Mordechai later. The Machne Ephraim answers that, in fact, in neither case it was saying that you have to deal with it, as according to Mordechai Shita, as a block of time that you bought. In either case, we're looking upon it as a memkar, as a true mecher, you bought a shtick zeit. And consequently, what the Mordechai says about the renter not having to pay all the way through the end of the year is certainly true. He only had part of the year and didn't get the use of the other part and doesn't pay. However, he says, if you look carefully at the words of the Mordechai, the case of the Melamed, so the Mordechai says over there that the reason why the Melamed could demand of you that you pay him for the entirety of his Melamed year, even though he was sick for part of it, is because of something called Nistachpa Sadehu. And that's a lashon of the Mordechai right there. It's based upon the Gemara and Ksubas that speaks about this concept. Nistachpa Sadehu literally means your field has been flooded. And it's just an expression. What it really means is, like the Mefarshim point out, and Ksubas Daf Beis, Mazlecho Goram. It's your problem. It's your mazel that caused it. With your mazel that caused it. So basically, the real pshat of the Mordechai by the case of the Melamed is that the Melamed is saying that, listen, I dedicated and gave over this entire block of time over to you. You didn't buy it as an aggregate shtick zeit. However, it's all dedicated to you, and I was mashabed myself to be there for you during this year. And if something happened during the year I was unable to perform, that's mazlecho goram. We assume it's your mazel, which is literally the Machne Ephraim says. In other words, we're assuming it's your mazel. And if I had not been mashabed myself to you, if I, the Melamed, had taken a job somewhere else, it could be I would never have gotten sick. It's because of your mazel, the Melamed says, that I got sick. And in Mela, therefore, the balabos, in that case of the Melamed, left holding the bag. You have to pay for everything because the Melamed is a specific taina. I was mashabed myself to you during this year, and if something happened to me, then it's your mazel that caused it. So you have to pay the whole amount. Of them zok the Machne Ephraim, that if you think about it carefully, you could see that that doesn't apply to the case of the home where I rented a home and then the resident in the home died. There's a very basic reason, says the Machne Ephraim, why we're not going to say any kind of mazel chagoram, my dear, in the case of the home. Why? Because we only say mazel chagoram in specifically where the item that you got the rights on had something happen to it. So it must be your mazel that caused that item had something happen to it. So, for example, by the case of the guy who has rights to a melamed for his kids for that year, and nothing happened to the melamed that it got sick, that means that that item which you, the balabos, had rights on, something happened to it. We assume it's your mazel that made something happen. Mashin came by the case of the home that was rented. Over there, nothing at all happened to the home. The home was a perfectly fine home. The renter took the home for a period at least of 12 months, and nothing happened to the home. It was a great home. What happened was something happened to the renter, and he was unable to utilize the home. The home was great, but the renter couldn't utilize it. So over there, in that case, we say that since the home itself had nothing happened to it, it happens to be that I'm getting zero benefit out of it beyond a certain point, because the renter died, so he gets zero benefit out of it beyond that point. So over there, the halacha is that you don't have to pay beyond the amount of time that you're getting any benefit. Let's discuss the big, big machloikis in the Gemara over here between Reb Doisa and the Rabbanon about whether Yad Poilim al Ha'oyoina, like the Shita of Rabbanon, or Yad Poil al Ha'tachtoina, like the Shita of Reb Doisa. Now, you're familiar, the Gemara over here discusses a couple of cases of kablonos, which is to say that workers took a very specifically delineated job. It wasn't day laborers that they just get paid and hired by the day or by the hour, but rather was a specific delineated job that's called kablonos. They were hired to harvest a particular field. They were hired to weave a particular beged. That's a kablonos. The job is defined by a particular pa'ula that needs to get done, and they got hired for this kablonos, and the workers backed out in the middle. So Rabbi Dice and Rabbanon get into an argument. What's the story? The workers back out, and the homeowner will have to pay a lot of money, or the owner, the balabos, have to pay a lot of money in order to finish the job getting done, because in the interim, by the time they backed out, the price of workers went straight through the roof. So I have to pay a lot of money in order to get the job finished by other laborers. So who has to get that loss? So the opinion of Rabbanon is, Yad Poil al Ha'yayna, the workers are not stuck with that loss. They can just back out. It's not their problem. And they get the full, in the case of the Gemara, the full sella, the full value of the half the work that they were supposed to be doing. Mashayin Kain Rabbi Doisa holds Yad Poil al Ha'yayna, and therefore he holds that if the poil does back out, he's left holding the bag. And in the event that the price of workers went through the roof and the balabos will have to pay a ton of money in order to get the job finished, the second half of the job done, that's going to be deducted from the salary of the first worker. Yad poyel al ha tachtoin. That's Reb Doisa's sheet. Now, what is the underlying machloik is between Reb Doisa and the Rabbanan? And here we have a whole shiloh. It's very unclear. We need to look first very carefully at the Rashi. Rashi does seem to indicate a particular mahaloch, a particular approach. Now, Rashi says that the Rabbanan who hold yad poyel al ha yoyna, what's their reason? It's like Rashi, the Rabbanan say that the Rabbanan are saying that a Kablon too is included in the Pasuk of Ki Avodayhem, Asher it says, He always saw my Eretz Mitzrayim, Avodayhem, Veloy, Avodim, Avodim. We alluded to this drosha yesterday. It's found in the Gemara Metzia Daf Yud. And that's the drosha Avodai, Veloy, Avodim, Avodim, which actually, that's the source, right, that a Poyel is able to back out halfway through the day, because you don't want to make him too meshubad to the Balabas. He would be considered like an Eved, and that would be wrong for him to be like an Eved, like a slave to a human being. Consequently, the Poyel could back out in midday. What Rashi is saying over here, however, is a Chiddush. Rashi is mavur that this concept applies to a poyel who is a kablon. He took the job as well, and that is a chiddush. And why is it a chiddush? So the thing is that the Mefarshim point out, because Rashi on the bottom of the page, in the very very bottom of the Omud, seems to say a fakirta svara, why the argument of avodayhem v'levodim l'avodim perhaps should not apply to a kablon. There Rashi happens to be going in Reb Doisa Shita, and Reb Doisa we know is the one who holds that yad poyel ala tachtayna. If the poyel backs out and it's going to cost a lot to finish the job without him, he's left holding in the bag, gets the doctor from his pay. Yad poyel ala tachtoina. So the Gemara over there, right on the bottom of the Omer, the Gemara is mechadesh that Reb Doisa holds this way about a kablon, even though he wouldn't hold it way about a poyel or a schir yoim. Thus, Hayes, if he's a day laborer, he has very strong rights to back out, apparently, and therefore, consequently, if he does back out, he doesn't get anything deducted from his job. If a day laborer, we're definitely going to say yad poyel ala yoina. However, since this person is a kablon specifically, in other words, he's getting paid by the job rather than by the day or by the hour, so because he's a kablon, therefore, the poyel has much less rights to back out. That's what it seems to be. And Rashi over here, over there, on the bottom of the Omud, seems to say a very specific svara. Rashi says the whole language of the pasuk is ki avodayhem v'loy avodim la'avodim. But avol kablon, says Rashi, ein ze eved el lo le'atzmoi. By the case of the kablon, he's working for no one but himself. Now, even though obviously it's perfectly true that the balabos is going to get the benefit of the beautiful garment that you're weaving, or he's going to get the benefit of the field being totally harvested, that's true. However, like the Gemara says in different places, a kablon works for himself. A kablon takes on a job, he's like a contractor. He takes on the job, he gets the job done. And you're going to pay him, and at the culmination of the job, you're going to end up getting the benefit of that job. But he's not working on an ongoing basis. It's like a yodoi kiyada richta of the balabais. It's not like his work is like your work. He's not, so to speak, his time isn't not owed by you, so owned by you for that period of time that you can do what you want with him during that time. Nothing like that. The kablon is a contractor. He takes the job. He does it unto himself, his own job, so to speak. It's his job, and he gives you the product, and you pay him the money. So therefore, there's no svara, as she says, by a kablon of avodayhem v'loy avodim la'avodim, and he's my servants and not avodim la'avodim, because a kablon is a egan of balabas. He's a chosh of a contractor. He's a whole balabas unto himself, and therefore he's not like serving like an avodim la'avodim. And that's what Rashi says in Pshat in Reb Doisa, and why Reb Doisa holds specifically by a kablon that there's actually Pashtus, Rashi seems to say there's no ability to pile to back out, the goblin to back out at midday. Why could he back out? The whole ability to back out midday comes from Avodim, and Avodim, the goblin is an egan of Balabas, a choshev of VIP unto himself, and no reason to give him any special rights. So, according to that, it seems that Rashi Shita is that the Rabban and Reb Doisa argue about whether we apply the rule of Avodayhem, the loy Avodim, Avodim, to a kablon. The Rabban and Hol we do apply, and that's what Rashi alludes to here on top of the Amud, that we do apply Avodayhem and Avodim, Avodim to a kablon, and he could back out, and he's Yoda El Hayoin. If he does back out, he doesn't get penalized, penalty in any way, and therefore he gets the full half of the job, the full half salary that he was supposed to get. The Reb Doisa, however, holds that a kablon can't back out, so if he does try to do so, we're going to penalize him for that, and the Mela, that's why he's only going to get paid a small amount, because we're going to deduct the extra amount that's going to cost to finish the job, deduct it from your salary. And that's what it seems is the Shitas Rashi in understanding what the Machloikas, Reb Doisa and the Rabbanon is.
The Sefer Ateres Shmuel from Reb Mordechai Rosenbaum points out over here that Eich Shayir, the underlying Svar Chitzayna, the default Svar over here, was to have been that you can't back out in the middle of the day, and for that I decide whether I have special Gzeres HaKosa that tells me that I could back out. But the default Svar was going to be that you can't back out, and the reason is, like we're based on a Svar, that the Ramban and Rishayna speak out on Ayin Vav, which is to say that the Haskola Samalacha is the equivalent of a Kenyan, and therefore the moment that you begin the Malacha, the various parties become obligated to maintain the business relationship to the end and to see it through. And therefore, if not for the special Gzeres HaKosas, we would not, in fact, have allowed any kind of poil to ever back out. If that's the case, Teresh Shmuel points out, it really should come out of Nafkamina LaHalacha from these Rashis. Because although Rashis explain beautifully that we have a Machloikas, Rabbanan and Rabdaisa, maybe you really could back out, even Kablan could back out, that's Rabbanan Shita, because they hold that Avodaihem and not Avodan Lavodim applies to a Kablan. But what happens if instead of the Kablan backing out, the Balabayas from his standpoint wants to back out? The work has already begun, and the Balabayas now wants to back out. What will be the din then? So Zok Teresh Shmuel really should follow from Rashi. The Balabayas has no shum right to back out. Bamis, in other words, even the poet wouldn't have been about to back out if not for a special Gzeres HaKosev of Avodai V'loy Avodim La'Avodim. The Kablan wouldn't have been able to back out, but he could Gzeres HaKosev. Okay, but it's a woman Gzeres HaKosev. It was said to the Kablan, he's the one who shouldn't be a servant, so he has the ability to back out. What about the Balabayas? The Balabayas is stuck with the Svar Chitzayna, which apparently the Svar Chitzayna is that once you begin the Malacha, there's a mutual obligation to see it through to the end. And that's why he says the Mashma, that the Teresh Shmuel says, Mashma, the Rashi is in fact going to hold that everybody agrees that the Balabayas cannot back out, and he's stuck holding the bag if he does. Balabayas cannot get back out once the work gets started. The Machloikas, the Dois Rabbanan, is specific to whether the Kablon could back out, because perhaps, like the Rabbanan say, we want to give him special rights to back out without any consequence or any repercussions, because avodei heim v'loy avodim la'avodim. The Maisa says the Ateres Shmuel, the fact is that the Rosh over here, Afanort and Simon Bays, the Rosh does speak out that actually just like the Poilim can back out in midstream, so to the Balabayas as well could also back out in midstream according to the Shitas Rabbanon. The Rabbanon hold that the Poil could back out, the other Yoyna, without consequence, and likewise the Rabbanon also going to hold that the Balabayas could back out as well. So the Ateres Shmuel points out that it appears that the Rosh is going to learn the whole Shitas Rabbanon differently from the way Rashi learns, and the Rosh is not going to learn that the Shitas Rabbanon is based on a special Gzeres HaKosev of Avodai V'Le'Avon L'Avon, which is really just a one-way Gzeres HaKosev allows the Poil to back out. What is the Rosh going to hold? So for this, we need to understand, and that Teresh Shmuel mentions this, that it seems for Bekiva Eger, in the Chiddush of Bekiva Eger, that he had a whole loop shot in the Machloikas between Reb Dois and the Rabbanon, and that is that Bekiva Eger learned that we could say that the Machloikas of Dois and the Rabbanon is Gufa in whether the Hascholas HaMalacha, whether the beginning of the Malacha is considered to be the equivalent of a Kim to Mishabe, to mutually obligate the two parties to see the job through. Reb Doisa does hold that the Haskalas HaMalacha, the beginning of the Malacha, is such a kinyan, Mishabe, the parties to each other, whereas the Rabbanon don't agree with the whole thing. They hold that the Haskalas HaMalacha does not Mishabe any parties to one another, and there's in fact no kinyan to Mishabe to obligate anyone to see the job through. So that's what Kiva Eger says, and that Teresh Shmuel points out that actually if you learn that way, we can understand the Shitas HaRosh perfectly. Because then you understand the Rabbanon, they hold that even the beginning the work is not considered to be an obligatory type action, doesn't create the shibur, the hishtabdus one side to the other, and consequently, if that's so, the same way that the poilin could back out without consequence, so Yom HaYoyna, exactly the same thing would be true about the Balabayas as well, he also could back out a consequence as well, and that's as really two very distinct machloikas, distinct understandings of what the machloikas between Rav Nois and Rabbanon is. According to Rabbi Kiva Eger, which it seems the Rosh followed that, it's the machloikas is that according to Rav Nois, Hascholas HaMalacha is a mechayev, it's a kinyan, which obligates the parties to one another, and the Rabbanon don't hold Hascholas HaMalacha obligates anyone, so either party can back out, Palabayas or the Poil. Mashenkin, it's Mashma and Rashi that the Mashmois of Rashi is going to be that everybody holds that the Hascholas HaMalacha is a mechayev, and Be'etzem, everybody would have agreed that you can't back out, but since the Rabbanon have, they kick in a special Gzeres HaKosev Avodahem V'Le'Avodim La'Avodim, which they hold applies to Kabbalah as well. So therefore, that's why they hold a special unique thing that the Poil could back out, so he shouldn't serve much like the role of an Eved. The Pashtus should come out that the Balabayas will not be able to back out, even according to the Rabbanon. However, here, unfortunately, we get into a sticky point, a bit of a difficulty. And that is, the Ateres Shmuel points out, that everything we just said is really miyusid on the Hanocha, is based on the assumption that, in fact, the Reb Doisa would surely hold that the poil cannot back out in midstream, and that Reb Doisa holds that a kabbalim is different, and Reb Doisa holds that there's no special schuss for a poil to back out, and that's why if you don't back out, the other otachtoina. But in reality, there's a machne Ephraim that writes that we find there's a machlekas bishoinim. Mamish in this nekuda, and whether according to Reb Doisa, the kabbalim can back out, and machne Ephraim says it's true that the shittas harosh and the shittas hator, that they do hold, like we're saying, that by a kabbalim, you cannot back out if you're Reb Doisa, that we Paskin like, that Rav Paskin's like in the Gemara, a Kavlan cannot back out, and the reason is because he's, so to speak, working for himself, like we said before, and there's no concern that he'll be kind of viewed with a perspective of Avodim La'Avodim. So a Kavlan can't back out, that's the Rosh and Toysis, and the Rosh and the Torah. However, Toysis, in a very clear, apparently clear Toysis, earlier on the Fyodim and Aleph, in the sugya that we spoke of yesterday, the Toysis says over there clearly that even according to Reb Doisa, a Kavlan could back out. Even a Kavlan, even according to Doisa, could always back out. And Toysis' statement over there leaves the whole discussion, the Gansam Achloikis, between the Rabbanon and Reb Doisa over here, leaves it hanging and extremely unclear what exactly is it that they're arguing about. If both Reb Doisa and the Rabbanon agree that the poil could back out, then what is the Shaila? Why does Reb Doisa hold that if the Kavlan does back out, he'll be other Tachtoina, he'll have to sustain a big loss if it's going to cost the Balabai it's more to finish the job, and the Rabbanon don't agree? What is this whole shaila if both of them are going to agree anyway that a poil, even a kavlon, is able to be choizer by even b'chatzi hayam? A big question on the Toysis and the Fyud. In answer to this question, the Ateres Shmuel tells Sue, the Evan HaOzel, that the Evan HaOzel really does offer a completely new, an entirely new understanding of why Reb Doisa is going to hold that if the Kablam backs out, and specifically Kablam, backs out, there's the other Tachtoina. Remember that Reb Doisa, as the Gemara says in the bottom of the Omud, Reb Doisa is moida by a regular Schirioim, by a regular Poil, a day labor, that if he backs out, he's going to be other Halyoin, even according to Reb Doisa. It's specifically a Kablam that if he backs out, the other Tachtoina. And why would Reb Doisa hold this way? And the Evan HaOzel suggests a completely brand new pshat, which could stem perfectly, even if you go with the Hanocha that seems to emerge, and Toysis and the Fyud, that even a Kabbalah could back out midday, and he's like a poil, he shares that with a poil, despite that we'll have the distinction between them, about whether it's Yodah, Tachtoina, or Yoina. The theory of the Evan HaOzel is like this, is that we know that the Yesoidia sticker, fundamental chiluk between a Kablon and a Schir Yoim, is that a Kablon gets paid by the job, whereas a Schir Yoim gets paid by the hour. So, in other words, a Schir Yoim, but when we pay a Schir Yoim, we don't look upon the results. We're not looking upon, well, during that hour you did X amount of labor, and you did X number of stitches, or whatever, X number of waterings in the field, whatever it is, we don't look upon that at all. The Maisi was working during that time, and he worked a period of time, and you owe him X amount of money for each period of time. It doesn't go by the result, but rather it goes by the Malacha, in a certain number of amount of time. Ma'ashenken by a Kavlon, the whole Mechayiv of the Momenus is results-oriented. Because a certain result was achieved, therefore I owe you X amount of dollars. The result is not achieved, you don't know the X amount of dollars, because the Mechai of a Kablon, to pay by a Kablon, is looking in terms of results. The Mela, based on that, the Evan also wants to suggest a Chiddush, and he wants to say that actually, by the case of a Kablon that takes a particular job, and like in our Gemara, he takes the job to dig up a whole field, to harvest a whole field, he takes the job to the Oireg, an entire Beged, so the aside of the job, which is going to generate the money, is the fact that the job is completed. In other words, not that a half of a shirt was done, but the fact that a shirt got completed. Not the fact that half the field got harvested, but the fact that the field got completed. And in fact, it's not mischalik into little bits and pieces, says the Evan HaOzel. We're not going to say, well, if completing the shirt is going to be worth $25 to you, then who are then that if they did half the shirt, so the poil is entitled to $12.50? I mean, there's no, what's half a shirt? The half a shirt is not a shirt. And even by the field, the vort is, I hire you to do the job, thus haste to get the ktsira, the whole, the cuts of the harvest completely off of the field. There's no such thing as a mechayev of mumnis of paying pay of doing half the job. By the case of the kavlan specifically, if you have, for example, a schir yom and he backs at midway through the day, the seder, so he was supposed to work 8 hours and he worked instead 4 hours. But the mice, every hour is a mechayev of mumnis because he's getting paid by the time period, and a mele, therefore, granted, he doesn't get paid the entire amount, the entire salary for the day because he backed it halfway through, but he gets half the salary because each hour that he worked was a mechayev of money. Mashi ain't came with the case of the kavlan. Zablon, from the standpoint of a half job, he really not entitled to money. Because what's a half job going to do for me? And it's not what I hired you to do. I hired you to do a whole job. It's a whole job that gets you the money. The only thing is, in other words, that what this Kablan did is entitled to money. Even if he backs in halfway, he's entitled to money insofar that it's going to join with all the other labors that are going to get done and going to end up yielding an entirety of a shirt or an entirety of a harvested field. So in other words, the Mechayev to pay money to the Kablan, says Rabbi Zalman, doesn't Nemzuch from this, like, looking independently at the specific spade work or harvest work or whatever it is that he did, but it Nemzuch from the fact that you look upon it once the job is done, you look upon it in terms of the greater totality of it and you see that part of it is attributable to the Kablan and he pays. Because of that, that's the reason, says the Evan Ozel, you could say that the Doise holds that the Kablan specifically is the one who's going to get left holding the bag. If the Kablan did part of the job and backs out and it's going to cost the Balabas tons of money to finish the job, then the Kablan is going to have to sustain that loss. He's going to be deducted from his salary, his chaluk, and specifically by a Kablan, the fear of Doise, and not by a Poyle. Because by a Poyle, what is my problem? What's the Poyle's problem that you're going to bring in somebody else to finish the job? I'm entitled to get paid for what I did. That chaluk that I did is independent of what's going to get done later on to finish the job. Mashenka by a Kablan, the only hischaivus, the only entitlement that you have to get paid is only by virtue of the fact that when the job gets finished, what you did was chaluk, a contributing chaluk in it. If that's the case, then you have to deal with the fact, and you have to take into account the fact that as a result of your backing at a midday, it's going to cost the balabas a ton of money to get that job finished, and therefore, since it's the totality of the job that is entitled to get you your money, you're going to have to take responsibility for the fact that it's going to took a ton of money to finish the job, and that extra amount of money is going to be deducted from your salary. And that would be the chiluk that Evan also suggests, a new pshat in between Kablan and Poyle. According to that, like we said, you could defend the Toises on Daf Yud. According to Abdoisa, even according to Abdoisa, both Kablan and Poyle, you could back out midday. Nonetheless, even if you could back out, Abdoisa has entirely new din with a new sfora as to why, by a Kablan, if the Poyle backs out, he's yodel atachtayna, if it costs a lot of money to get the job finished. Reb Shmuel Rozovsky, however, in the Shir of Shmuel, right over there in Bamatzia Daf Yud, insists that that Toisvis, which appears to say that even according to Reb Doisa, the Poyle can back out, he insists that that Toisvis cannot be understood kipshutoi and has to be understood in a particular manner. And the primary diuk that Reb Shmuel Rozovsky goes with in the Lashon Toisvis itself is a very curious and rather difficult thing that Toisvis says, the Emitin Derin in the Emsa Dvorov, that Toisvis says that the Drosha that Rav brings down, the famous Drosha of Rav, Ki Avodai Heim, the Tosfos says that that drasha itself tells us, as Lord, to the extent that you apply it, that drasha tells us that a poel could back out, and if he does, he's yodai al ha'olyayna. If he does, he's yodai al ha'olyayna. That's what Tosfos says. A very difficult Tosfos. If the words are kapshutam, the Tosfos says avodai heim asher itseisi oisam avodim v'le avodim l'avodim. You know what? He could back out, and if he does, he's going to be yodai al-yayna. And therefore, Shmuel Zovsky says that we're going to have to understand that that pasuk avodim v'le avodim l'avodim is not going to be applied, according to this Tosis, is not going to be applied by Reb Doisa to a Kablon. Because Tosis says, for some strange reason, that the Pasuk indicates that you can back out, and if you do, you're Yad El HaYayna. Reb Doisa clearly doesn't hold that a Kablon who backs out is Yad El HaYayna. Not at all. He's Tachtoyne, he has sustained the loss, like we said. So clearly, it's Mukhrach, says the Rabbi Shmuel Rozovsky from the Lashon of Tosis over there, that only the Rabbona will use this drush of Avonim, Avonim, Avonim for a Kablon, and it won't be used by Reb Doisa for a So if it won't be used by him, then what does this mean when he says that the Kablan could back out in the middle of the day? So this is where Shmuel Zovsky comes up with a couple of very sharp interesante horas. Shmuel Zovsky says that if you look carefully at the language of the Goy Sashriya Fanort, right over here in Bamatzi Ayin Zayin, if you look carefully at the Goy Sashri's words, it's really mavur that the Goy Sashri, when he speaks at it in Reb Doisa, that you can't force him to finish the job, the Lashon of the Goy Sashri says that a Kablan, even though he's a Kablan, ain balabayas yochol lekoifoy sheyasa lemelachtoy balkorchoy. You can't force the Kablon to do the work balkorchoy. Now, hold on a second, says Rav Shmuel Zovsky. Is that the appropriate expression to use if the Kablon really had a schus to totally back out according to Abdoisa and go home free? What, ain yochol lekoifoy lasas melachtoy balkorchoy? That's the right expression. Just say that every poil has a right to back out. He's an independent contractor, an eigen mensch, and he decided to back out on you, and that's his right. What do you mean you can't force force him. You can't impose on him against his will to finish the job for you. So this is where, says Rav Shmuel Wozovsky, that then a goy sashri, he claims that a goy sashri is saying a big yisoid, which he wants a taina that Tosfos is saying as well. And then is that be'em is the reality is that the Rabbanan and Abdois have a very fundamental machloikis. And that is to say that according to the Rabbanan, the poel could literally back in the middle of the day and he has no yachas. He's not take his yachas to you completely. Cuts it off. It might in midday. Ayla Maisa, beginning of the day, he accepted upon himself, obligated himself to work through the whole day. Okay, but Rav has exerced a kosev. You don't want the poel to be treated almost like a slave. Avodim, v'levodim, lavodim, and therefore it's exerced a kosev. It gets in the right to mafkia and rip out the whole relationship. Mashing Reb Doisen does not utilize that pasuk by a kablon because the kablon is like independent and the kablon doesn't have this avodim and avodim, lavodim anyway. It's not a problem. They'll be like avodim, lavodim. And therefore, Reb Doisen held that since he obligated himself at the beginning of the day, be'etzem, the truth of the matter is that what? That he's kind of stuck remaining your poil until the end of the day. However, that much right we're not going to give you to be koif him, to force him to work for the end of the day. You have no right to impose on somebody else to force him to work for you, even if he accepted upon himself to be a poil. A very curious thing. And Mele, therefore, the Shittas Reb Doisa is going to be that although he remains with the Shem poil until the end of the day, Afal Pikein, there's a Mesuyim Digadin that you can't be koif for him. So, for example, says Shmuel Zofsky, he wants to tie in, for example, Nafkamina Lahalocha, why if the poil decides to work? He goes to work for somebody else before the end of the day. Interestingly and quite remarkably, the Shmuel Zofsky holds that although you can't be koif for the poil to work till the end of the day, but if he does do work, it automatically belongs to you because you have rights on that work till the end of the day. If he's Yosha Bottle till the end of the day, he's like a lazy person, then you have no right to force him. But if he is working for somebody, that work belongs to you, even if he's Lehedi working for somebody else. And that's what this is going to hold. Not like the Rabbanan who hold that the poil has literally right to mafkia and menatik and rip apart the relationship between himself and you and literally go and work for somebody else until the end of the day. And that's going to be the shittas of Tosfos. And Tosfos says that the poil is Yochala, the Kablon, even according to Abdois, is Yochalachza boy. And Shmuel Wozovsky insists, and in context of that Tosfos, what the Tosfos really meant to say was that upon him, even the fear of Abdois, you have no right to impose on the poil to force him to work for you. But the ability, the idea that he completely rip himself away from you, mafkia the relationship, that's only in the Rabbana. And that's why Tosfos says that the Tosfos means, Dr. Wozovsky, that the Tosfos means, and Tosfos says that only according to Rabbanon, the poil who backs it will be Yodai al Ha'ayayna. Because according to Rabbanon, the Gzeres HaKosev, Avonim Levonim Avonim, is going to tell us he could totally menatek and rip apart the whole relationship. He has no relationship to you, and it's not his problem what happens later in the day when you have to pay a lot of money, etc. So he gets paid his full pay, Ha'ayayna. Mashen Kein Reb Doisa, who holds he cannot menatek his relationship, and he's stuck with a Shem poil at the end of the day. It's just you can't force him to work. Okay, but Lemaisa, since he is a poil and he's not working, Hakopon is going to be Yodel HaTachtoina, and therefore he's going to have to supplement, and from his salary is going to have to come their extra pay that's going to have to cost to finish the job done by other poilers. That's Rosh Molozovsky's Havana, which he understands it in Tais itself, that Reb Dois and Rabbanon are arguing about a Lomdish Shaila, according to Reb Dois, that a Shem poil blives till the end of the day, and that's why it comes out of his salary any extra work that needs to be done to finish the job by the end of the day. The Gemara brings a brisa on the bottom of the Amud Aleph, top of the Amud Beis, that if you have a poil or a kabbalan that accepted a job, and in the middle of the day he became an onus, that he was an onus, he was under duress and unable to finish the job, then you have to pay the kabbalan the work for his kablonus for the part day, and the poil the work for his poil for the part day. For the Gemara, why we have to dafka pick a case in which he was under onus, and that's why he backed out, a poil could anyhow back out in the middle of the day and get paid. So why do you have to speak out that it was a case of an oines, and that's why he backs it, he gets paid? The Gemara answers here is talking about a case of Zavar Ha'avud, a scenario in which the homeowner is going to sustain some kind of a loss because the job is going to get done that day, and there the poil doesn't have the right to back out unless he's an oines, then we're going to allow him that he backs and he gets paid. Because this specific case, Zavar Ha'avud, you have epis, a loss that will be sustained by the homeowner, and therefore the poil can't back out unless he's an oines. Tosfos, the Masechta Kedushin Yud Zayin, brings down this Gemara and takes a Yesoidi as a Gazachar of that Tosfos. He makes a controversial statement, the Machloikas Rishayim, that Tosfos takes out a shita based upon our sugya. And that is, the Tosfos brings down over there, I alluded to this question briefly earlier in the shir, that Tosfos says that there were those who wanted to say Yesha Hayuroitz and Loimar. Some wanted to say that those who hire Malamdi Tinoikas, they hire a private tutor to teach the kids Torah, and then the private tutor, you hire them for a certain period of time, a month, 6 months, whatever it is, and then within the middle of the period of time, for a segment of that time, they were sick. So some wanted to say that you have to pay them for the entire period of time, including the chelot that they were sick. Why did they want to learn that way? So that's based upon the fact that the Gemara brings special dinim over there in Kedushin Yod Zayin, but it gets to an Eved Ivri who's hired for 6 years. So if he's sick up to 3 years, he still doesn't get anything deducted from his pay, and he gets the full pay even though he was sick up to 3 years. So some wanted to stel tzu and draw the parallel that the same way is true of any Melamed who gets hired for 6 months or 3 months or whatever it is. If he was sick for part of the time, then he gets the entirety of the pay, doimet to Eved Ivri. The Tosfos says that this is totally wrong. First of all, Tosfos expresses the opinion, and we mentioned this the other day, that Tosfos holds that there's a fundamental difference because Eved Ivri is gufei konoi, and Yitaka bought him for a stick tzeit, for a period of time. Masha Inkin, the Melamed is not gufei konoi at all, nor is any poil gufei konoi in the opinion of Tosfos. This is Tosfos Shita, that no poil is ever gufei konoi, and therefore Tosfos says since he's not gufei konoi, he didn't buy him at all, not for any period of time. It's just a question of doing work and getting paid. To the extent he does the work, he gets paid. To the extent the Melamed doesn't do the work, he doesn't get paid. And it's not at all comparable to what Eved Ivri, who you buy for a period of time, and there's a purchase price for that period of time, and then you're going to get stuck holding the bag if he was sick for a portion of that time. That's the first thing that Tosfos says. Moreover, Tosfos says that those that wanted to compare the Melamed to the Eved is because they thought the Melamed has some sort of a Shem Eved on him and he's comparable to the Eved. But the reality is, Tosfos says that we find by an Eved Ivri that the Pasuk says, Ki Mishneh Schar Socher Avotcho Sheishonim, and the Eved Ivri, you hired him for 6 years, which is, according to one understanding of the Pasuk, it's double the amount of a Socher. A Socher is just a regular day laborer, a Socher gets hired for 3 years. Mishneh Schar Socher is 6 years, it's twice the 3 years, and that's an Eved Ivri. Tosfos quotes a Pasuk in Yeshaya, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya that 3 years is the amount that a person hires a laborer for a sochir, a poil. Beyond that point, it's already called an Eved. Meila Taisa says that the Malamdim who don't get hired for such a long period of time altogether surely have no Shem Eved whatsoever. And Taisa says that there's a raya to this Yisoid, what I'm saying, that the Malamid or any poil other than an Eved Mamish is not going to get paid for the entire period of time, including what he was sick for, is a raya from our Gemara in Sochir Sa'umnan, the Gemara that we're holding in here. Why? Because our Gemara over here is Mavur, that after Kasha, it says that if the poil gets sick halfway through the day, so he could stop working and get paid, the Gemara asked, what do you have to say he was sick? Even if he wasn't sick, a poil could be choyze b'chatzi ayoyim, let him stop working and get paid anyway. That's the Gemara's Kasha. The Gemara says here it's a davar ovud, it's a special case, he needs to be sick. In fact, Tosfos, what's the Kasha? Why don't you make a simple distinction? If he just stopped without being sick, he stopped midday, he gets paid for the chelik of the work that he did, he won't get paid for the rest of the work. Mashenkin, if he becomes sick halfway through the day, according to your shita, the domit to the malamed, you're paying for the entire day, not just for half the day, but for the whole day. Like a malamed, you're saying he's sick half the time, and he gets paid for the whole period. Then what's the most kasha? The being sick is a very big difference, because now that you're sick, it's not, you don't just get paid for half the day, you get paid for the whole day. It's from here, Raya Gedoyla says Tosfos that we never ever say that a poil who gets sick gets paid for the time that he was sick. And no such a thing, B'Shem Oifin, and the Malamed doesn't get paid for when he was sick either. And that's why Al Gemara doesn't make any such suggestion that the mile of being sick is that you get paid for the entire pay period. The truth is that there's a big machloket we shouldn't have about this, and the truest Maimonides really does hold, the truest Maimonides holds Befeirish Lahalocha in a Befeirish Hestikol, it's the truest Maram Rottenberg printed in the truest Maimonides that he says this same thing that Tosfos rejects is Mavur over there. And the truest Maimonides says that if Malamed gets sick during part of the time, it was only part of the time, up to half the time past this, so then he gets paid for the entire period. Doime zokta is when Eved Ivri who got sick for part of the work time, and he gets paid also for the entire period. And that is the Truvas Maimonides. In fact, the Truvas Maimonides, this is the same Truvas Maimonides that we spoke about Barichos yesterday from the Ksois. He fears ois near the end that a poil is really doime to an Eved Ivri, a worker is comparable to an Eved Ivri, and the fact that a poil come back in the middle of the day and get paid part of the pay is, like we said yesterday, it's similar to an Eved Ivri. It's similar to an Eved Ivri who could back out in the middle of it if he can pay his way out. He prorates the amount of money that he was supposed to come to him, and he pays up, he remits the remainder of the money coming, and he gets, and then he leaves the middle. And that's what a poil could do as well. We spoke about this yesterday. The Ksoyis takes out of the Shuvas Maimonides. The Shuvas Maimonides held that a poil is gufay konoi. So the reality is that the whole hanocha that Teichel works with over there in Kedushin, that a poil and an Eved Ivi are two fundamentally totally different things, are not in fact. It's not a hanocha that Shuvas Maimonides will agree. The Shuvas Maimonides holds that that the Shapoil and the Eved Ivi are fundamentally the same. They're both somewhat owned by the Balabas in some manner. And Meir Taki, he makes it Sushtel in the same way we find by the Eved Ivi, he gets paid for, if he was on this part of the time, he gets paid for the whole time. And that's he's going to hold the same way by Malamed. If he was sick part of the time, he's entitled to the entirety of his pay. Now, there is another machloikis, the machloikis Rishonim, between Tosfos against the Mordechai, which in the Shuvas from Sefer, it appears to stel its suit to the machloikis that we just spoke of. And that is that Tosfos, Mometzia Dafyud, and the Mordechai both ask independently the same question. They both ask, what's the heter for a poel to hire himself out to work for somebody? Why don't you say that the Pasik says, you know, we had in the Gemara in Mishnah, the Kedushin speaks of this thing, that the person not supposed to hire himself as an Eved Ivri, you overon ki avodayim, you're not supposed to sell yourself. You're not supposed to sell yourself out of an Eved Ivri because you're acquiring for you're making yourself into Avodim LaAvodim. So Fregin the Rishayim, why is a poor allowed to hire himself out either? In some manner, at some level, Lachari is making himself into Avodim LaAvodim as well. The Taisa sheet of Matzia Dafyud, which fits into what we spoke of earlier, is a Taisa says that Vibal, that a poor is Yochel Lachzer, Afilu B'chatzi HaYoyim, and a poor could back at any time that he wants, a poor is fundamentally not similar to an Eved Ivri, Zoktosis, and therefore the Poyel is completely different. He's not at all owned in any way. And the first day, so that's Tosfos Shita, and somebody should have held that way, like we said yesterday, that a Poyel is Bechlal not owned in any way. There's no Kinyan Aguf at all on a Poyel, and he's not at all dimmer to an Eved, even though he happens to be working for somebody that's not comparable. His Guf is not owned in any way, shape, or form, and he's not over on Avodim Avodim. However, the Mordechai says a different teretz on this question. Now, of course, Mordechai asks the Kasha, Ki li b'nei Yisrael Avodim, and not Avodim Avodim. Taymo, he has to wonder. In Cain, just like you're not allowed to sell yourself in Eved Ivri, it should be also to hire yourself out of the laborer either, because we find that a poil is called an Eved, that's what he says. So on that, Agoyis Mordechai says a famous, remarkable teretz, which is that brought down the halacha by the Ramo and Shulchan Aruch, and that is that Agoyis Mordechai says that in a chanami, no laborer should hire himself out for more than 3 years. And up to 3 years is not called an Eved, it's only called Kimei Socher, like we said before the Pasuk in Yeshaya. Sholoi Shonen Kimei Socher. So, as Agoyis Mordechai holds it, it is be a problem, but up to 3 years doesn't have any Shem Eved, and it has a Shem Socher upon itself. And that, the Kuda seems to be that this Mahalach follows the Shitas Rishonim that he said before from the Tshuvas Maimonides from others, that they hold that the poils be'etzim fundamentally taka doime to a Shem Eved and has the similarities to Shem Eved. We said before and yesterday that Tshuvas Maimonides holds that the ability of a poil to back out in the middle of the day is doime to the Eved Ivri. It's comparable to the Eved Ivri that could pay his way out. So because they hold that the poil has a DNA Eved and it's a gufay koni, like we said in some manner from the Ksais yesterday, a poil like an Eved. And the Meila, if you talk yourself out for more than 3 years, a great time this follows this sheet, there'll be taka problem that you should be unable and unallowed to do so. Chasam Sofer writes in an interesting tshuva that he holds that this is the pshat in a very sosantic minhug. He says, the fact is, Beroivam Akoimois, at least in his time, Roivam Akoimois, the minhug was that the contract for all the Rabbanim was that it said in it 3 years, or sometimes it said 5 years, but more than that, it did not say. Even though it's Boror, says in Chasam Sofer, that the minhug Mefursim is that nobody dumps and fires the rabbi or the rov at the end of the 3 years or the 5 years, nonetheless, that's the limited amount of time of the contract is 3 years or 5 years. Why is that? It's Dr. Then the Chasam Sofer, the Hezbollah is because those who go with the practice of writing up to 3 years is because they hold Zokter that the Rav is mamish like a poil, that's what he says, and therefore consequently if you're going to hire the Rav to be hired for more than 3 years, so Sefer actually he goes specifically to explain that this issue of a poil is not any worker that has this problem, but a poil who is the Lashon of the Agoyis Mordechai is Soimech al Shulchan Balabayas, if he's almost a member of the household, so to speak, Soimech al Shulchan Balabayas, and Sefer says that the Rabbonim have that quality. Because since the members of the Shtot decide where about the Rav should live, they give him a salary and they provide for everything and they determine where he's going to, which neighborhood he'll live in. He doesn't have too much say in those things. that therefore Zatar Chazan Sofer, the Rav is called Soymech on the Shulchan of the Balabatim, and he's Mamash a Poyel Gomor, and if he's going to be away for more than 3 years, there could be a Chash that maybe he'll have a din like an Eved, it'll be also to do it. And that's why the contract is always for a limit of 3 years. The others that have the minig, the contract is for 5 years, Zatar Chazan Sofer, that's because they have the practice, they're going with a different Shita, not like this Agoyas Mordechai, but they hold Akoponim that you have to make sure it's less than 6 years. Vibalt that Eved is higher for 6 years, so they hold that the contract has to be less than six, and that's why they make the contract for up to 5 years. And Mordechai Sofer, the Taka takes out the halacha lemaisa, and he explains the minig that he found in the hiring of the Rabbanim based upon this din that the Goyas Mordechai says, and the Taka brought down by the Ramah, that you have to limit in certain cases if the poil is totally a poil of yours and he's almost like a member of the bayis, you have to limit the hire of that poil to up to 3 years according to the Goyas Mordechai.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.